Welcome to Friday's edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Today, Brian Newman continues this insightful series on music, media, and the mind. Brian Newman has spent more than 16 years in the rock-pop music industry, and since his return to Jesus, has been doing extensive research for the past 10 years into the language of music, its effects on people, and the spiritual, mental, and physical implications attached to choosing the right or wrong kinds of music. Brian has lectured in countries such as Germany, Austria, the Czech Republic, Poland, South Africa, United States, and Canada. After coming back from his California tour, we are pleased to have Brian in studio for this excellent series on music. And now, here's Brian.
Well, this is our next session in our series, Voices of a Dying Planet. We have gone over quite a bit of material so far, looking at the body temple principle and the media and how it affects us, the language of music and the cultural aspects surrounding the language of music, and of course, looking at some of the fallacies that people have had regarding the language of music and how we actually hear it and respond to it. I also said last time, in closing, that we were going to look at the three categories in music and how they affect us, how we respond to these different three categories in music on a physical and, of course, on a mental level, how they affect us physiologically and psychologically as human beings. There are three major categories in music that we have to consider. All music is basically constructed of these three major categories. The one is melody. Now, we are told by musicologists, neurologists, and those who have studied the effects of music on the human organism and on the mind, that we listen to melody with the part of the brain that is more concerned with the emotional and the aesthetic and the spiritual. Of course, spiritual in their context does not necessarily mean religious, but it's that part of the brain which is stimulated when listening, when the melody in the music is being emphasized. Okay. Then the next one is harmony. Apparently, we listen to harmony with the intellectual part of the brain. That is the part of the brain that is being stimulated. And of course, this is a common sense fact because harmony is a more complex structure in music. It's more complex in structure than melody because it combines melody and the aspect of harmony together as well. And thus, it stimulates the part of the brain that deals with the intellectual. And then, of course, there's another aspect in music, rhythm. So it's melody, harmony, and now the third one, rhythm. We strongly respond to this aspect on a more physical and, of course, as well, we say emotional level too. And, of course, this is why people dance to music that puts an emphasis on the beat or the rhythm. All of these three aspects are basically common sense. Intellectual, as far as the harmony is concerned, because it's more complex. Rhythm, responding to on the physical level, because it is a more physical demonstration within the music, a more physical aspect within the music. I mean, wherever you go in the world, no matter what culture it is that you go to, people are dancing to music that emphasizes the rhythm or the beat. Doesn't mean that the music is necessarily devoid of melody and harmony, but that is the aspect in the music which is emphasized. I think that must be made very clear. All of these are important aspects in music: melody, harmony, and rhythm. Certain kinds of music emphasize melody. Certain kinds of music emphasize harmony, and so on. But they are all important. The response, though, that you want from the music will be determined by the kind, by which aspect in the music you emphasize. Now, let's assume we are talking about creating an atmosphere of reverence. I want to spend, especially later on in our series, some time speaking about reverence and about worship and so on. Let's say you wanted to emphasize reverence. What aspect in the music would you emphasize if you are composing or using a piece of music in the setting of worship? To worship a holy God. You would more than likely Judging by what part of the human organism and the brain is being stimulated, you would more than likely emphasize melody and harmony. Because melody, we react to on a more spiritual level, harmony, an aesthetic level. Harmony, we respond to on a more intellectual level. And we need to ask ourselves, the Christian worship, worship to God, do we emphasize the physical or do we emphasize the intellectual, the spiritual? What is it? And of course, once you've come to the conclusion, what of these are being emphasized in Christian worship, then you will know what to use in the music. In other words, which aspect of the music to emphasize. Very important question. We know, for example, that in romance, we might want to emphasize certain kinds of things in the music, particularly the emotional, and rhythm plays a part in that as well. And of course, melody and harmony and the overall atmosphere, of course, would be different. For example, how you would say to the one you love them, may be a little different to how you would say to God that you love him. So the tone is important as well. But if we use a particular atmosphere for, and we know it, and we know that it works in the situation of romance, then surely, if we apply that to romance or any other situation, surely it would be applicable to worship as well. So this is something to think about. As we will become clearer, of course, in our series as we continue, what it is that we should use in worship. Another interesting aspect in music that we need to look at has to do with noise. Music is listened to on levels now in our time, much louder levels than have ever been listened to in the past, because we have the ability today to amplify the sound, to amplify the music like we have never had before. Not to mention, of course, all the other noises that daily surround us that have an effect on us. Somebody who did some very, very interesting research on music spoke about how noise can harm us, and basically, put it in a nutshell, is that the cacophony that daily surrounds us can affect not only our hearing, but our health as well. Unwanted, for example, or harmful sound is the most pervasive pollution in our society today. In cities where you go, where the people are working with machinery and all these other kinds of things, noise is there surrounding us all the time, and then we still go to rock concerts and put on our headphones and listen to loud music, and they affect us all the time. Ordinary conversations, that means, like I'm speaking now, register at roughly about 60 decibels. Anything that goes above 85, so between 60, 80 and 85 is a normal level of decibels that we hear that are safe. But if we go above 85 decibels for a prolonged period, we will contribute to permanent damage of the delicate inner ear hairs. Little hairs in the inside of your ear, that they are damaged, and when they are damaged, they can never be restored again. In other words, it's permanent damage that is done. Just over 85 decibels. At a rock concert, for example, there is an average decibels of about 120 that people are being constantly exposed to. Imagine what is happening to those little delicate ear hairs. Portable stereos, for example, with headphones, also threaten to put our hearing in a downward spiral because the decibels there are very often above 85 decibels. Not to mention the hi-fis, when we listen on our hi-fis, and the levels to which we often turn them up to. Loud environments can cause elevated levels of cholesterol. In other words, it starts affecting your health as well. Stomach and intestinal ulcers, high blood pressure, and heartbeat abnormalities. And that's particularly related to the area of music. We will look at that in much greater detail in our forthcoming seminars. Indeed, David Lipscomb, who was former professor of audiology at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, he was doing some tests with a freshman to see how their hearing has been affected. He tested over 1,000 freshmen and discovered that 6 out of every 10, and these are people between the ages, let's say, of 17 to 25, freshmen at university, 6 out of every 10 had hearing loss, which was typical of elderly people. In other words, people in their 60s and 70s. Why? Because of the sounds and loud things that we are exposed to all the time. There is so much noise that is surrounding us, and we are even making it worse through the expression of music and the volumes at which we are listening to music today. Of course, going back to what we have looked at previously with regards to the effect of the media and the loud sounds and all these things that daily engulf us all the time, there is something that is happening to the human brain which I've already referred to, and that is a process of desensitization. The youth, another researcher, the youth, says Herner Ertl, he says, have grown up with contradictions and can handle them, apparently. In the past, one would have called this ability stroke disability, multiple consciousness. Today it is considered normal. I'll give you an example of how it may work. A young guy, after one of the seminars which I presented, came up to me and said, you know, I listen to heavy metal and watch violent sexual movies and they do nothing to me. Basically, this means you are really in trouble. You may think that you are handling these serious contradictions in what is surrounding you because you're not being affected. But the reason why you're not affected is because that part of the brain that is supposed to be sensitive to stimulation, that is helping you to discern between right and wrong, has become suppressed. And this is exactly what the scientists are revealing today. They've been researching this for the past 25 to 30 years. That part of the brain has become suppressed, and you are not any more able to discern between right and wrong. And now violent movies and heavy metal music and all this kind is having no effect on you. You probably need something even stronger to stimulate you, but of course then you are going to even make this condition that you are in even worse than it was before. Think about it this way. If you were driving down the road, let's go back to the 1950s, because really this is where it all began, particularly on a musical level. If you were driving down the road in 1953, and on the side of the road there was a big billboard advertising whatever product it was, and there was a half-naked woman or a naked woman on the billboard advertising the product, what would the response of the public have been in 1953? Of course, we all know there would have been a public outcry. People would have said, you cannot have this kind of thing, exposure in public in this way. Today, it is absolutely normal. Today you can drive down the road, this happens, you walk into shops, bookshops, pick up magazines, open newspapers, it is surrounding you all the time. Switch on your television, sexuality and violence is around you all the time. Today, just think of it in the span of time, only in 50 years, in the past 50 years have we come from that point where it was considered to be a bad thing for society and morally unacceptable, to the point today where in fact indeed it is actually recommended. Have we improved as a society, or have we become worse? According to biblical definition, we have become desensitized. Another example. If in 1956, instead of releasing a musician like Elvis Presley on the public, which happened at that time, they released a group, for example, like Iron Maiden or Metallica instead of Elvis Presley, what would the reaction of the public have been back in 1956? We know the reply. People would not have known what kind of music this was. In fact, they probably wouldn't even have called it music. Even when Elvis Presley was released in 1956, he was denounced from pulpits all across America. They called it the devil's music. They said it was evil. They said it was... He wasn't allowed to be shown on television from the waist down because his movements were too sexually suggestive. Today, Elvis Presley is considered kindergarten music. Just in 50 years, we have gone from that point to where we are at present in our musical situation. You see, it does not take very long to program the collective consciousness of the people to change the culture, and then ultimately change the value system, as we were referring to in our earlier presentations. The British Performing Arts Trust did a very interesting survey on musicians, rhythm and blues, rock musicians who've been involved in the industry for a long time, and they found, and I quote, that 2 out of 3 musicians suffered rapid heartbeat, sweating hands, muscle tension, trembling, shaking, loss of concentration, breathing problems, and they were also anxious, depressed, and suffer from joint pain, deafness, and 1 in 5 are on permanent medication. You see, this may not be an effect, or the results of what you are exposing yourself to may not be manifest right now, especially while you are young and your body is strong and may appear to be able to handle some of these things. But later on, it's like a person who smokes a cigarette doesn't get lung cancer immediately, or somebody who starts drinking alcohol doesn't have liver problems immediately. But down the road, sooner or later, it's going to affect your health, especially when you start getting older and your body is not able to handle those things anymore. And remember what the Bible teaches, that your body is the temple of God. Exposing ourselves to these harsher elements daily, in the forms of music, in the form of advertising, in the form of media, that which we look at, that we take in through all the avenues to the soul, whether it be through the avenue of touch, whether it be through the avenue of sight, taste, smell, hearing, any of the avenues. If we expose ourselves to these negative things, we will, and as we have seen, find ourselves in the situation that we are in our present time. And basically what we have done is we have destroyed the body's sensitivity, and this is the real crux of the matter. We have destroyed the body temple sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We cannot hear the still small voice anymore the way that we should. The Holy Spirit trying to convict us. How can we be trusted to know what decisions to make regarding our worship and music when we don't even know what decisions to make regarding the secular music that we are listening to? Amid all the noise, we just cannot hear it anymore. So regardless of our race or our culture, the message of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20, that message which we, the principle that we are looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the body temple principle, especially applies to us today in the final moments of this earth's history. And let's read that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20. And let's try to get a handle on what that really means. Paul almost sounds surprised. He asks the question. He says, what? He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and that you are not your own? In other words, he's saying, you do not belong to yourself. Your body is the temple of God, because the minute you gave your life to Christ, you claimed to be a Christian, your body became the temple of God. And why? For, he says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, which belongs to God. Isn't that significant? In a way, we are slapping Jesus in the face by approaching this whole body temple principle in the way which we have as Christians in our present time, by allowing any kind of garbage to come in and expose ourselves to it. By saying, Jesus, you know, you were nailed to the cross of Calvary, you died for our sins, but hey, we're just going to go on anyway. Because after all, everything is neutral. It does not matter what you take in. All things affect us on a neutral level. Of course, we know that this is not true, and particularly in the area of music and media, we have established this very clearly. In some way, we have done away with some of the misconceptions regarding music. It is only once we do away with these misconceptions like we have done that we can actually start having an intelligent discussion regarding music that we are hearing in our present time. The different atmospheres and sounds that daily engulf us. People listen to all kinds of music. Somebody may say, well, you know, we have heavy metal, thrash, punk, rock, rave, techno, rap, country rock, and all kinds of different kinds of music that we listen to, not to mention the other traditional forms like classical music and folk music and all these other atmospheres that surround us from day to day. How do I know amongst this whole array of different kinds of atmospheres in music what is good for me and what is bad for me? Well, indeed, this is really the function of the series that we are doing, to try and come to a conclusion on how we can discern music. But in order to get to that ultimate point, we need to establish certain things regarding different types of music and different atmospheres and how we relate to them. So what we are going to do in our next presentation is something very interesting. Of course, we are going to establish a very important biblical principle, as we have done through this first segment of our series. We are going to then try and find out what the history is, the roots, where the inspiration comes from behind much of the different forms of music and atmospheres that we are listening to in our present time. So whether you have been exposed to rap, techno, rave, whatever it may be, and you are struggling with making decisions, we are going to give you the tools. Often, when we are trying to find out whether something is good or bad for you, one of the best things to do is to look at the origins, where it comes from, what the people who were perhaps traditionally or originally using these atmospheres in music for, how they viewed it, and how they understood the effect which it had on them. This is going to be the central theme in our study in our next program. What we will also do is we will have a look at the contemporary music scene, the philosophy that drives it. Remember now, in one of our earlier programs, we saw that the people understood, the people in the industry themselves, we looked at David Crosby and Mick Jagger and Frank Zappa and some others, who understood that music itself had a powerful influence on changing the value system of people. Well, join us next time as we go on in this journey and we find out about these things and get the answers to these very, very important questions. Thank you for your time and goodbye.
It's extremely important that we remember that we are bought with a price. As ambassadors and servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are instructed in Philippians 4, verse 8, to think on whatever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and whatever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We as Christians should have a desire to want to please God in all things, including our music. If you have a friend or family member that you feel may benefit from these messages, we encourage you to tell them about Faith on the Line and have them listen next week as Brian continues this informative study at 1:30 p.m. Monday to Friday on KARI. If you'd like a cassette of this message, please mention today's date along with $5 US and call 866-572-9457. That's toll free, 866-572-9457. If you have a computer, visit us online at amazingdiscoveries.org, where you can listen to past radio broadcasts and watch a video clip of Ryan's music series. That's amazingdiscoveries.org. For those wishing to write, please address your letters to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the U.S., please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. I'm Jason Hernberg, and you've been listening to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. We'd like to leave you with a song entitled Nearer My God to Thee, which can be purchased through Amazing Discoveries. Have an excellent weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
song.